pick is societal impressions, but that really won't give you anything unless you say letting go of societal impressions and allowing the true self to come forward. Letting go of societal impressions. And actually in John Lennon's song, that's exactly what the song is about, that this was a place that he could go to get away from. As a boy, he could get away from what was going on, what was happening in the home or the community. Well, we don't have to go out anywhere. We don't have to go anywhere, but we have to remember to let our own true self shine, to let that power and presence that God is within you to shine forth as the being, the true being that you are, the grace, the power, the love, the glory that you are, made in the image and likeness of the one you are. I am. And are we living that way with that awareness? Or are we letting society tell us how to dress, how to act, how to behave? It's a very good question. It's a really great question to contemplate. How much of your real self do you reveal? Your real self is sacred. There could be nothing holier than who you really are. Who you really are. But do you let that true self come forth? One of the lines in Strawberry Fields Forever, Lennon writes, "Living is easy with eyes closed, misunderstanding all you see." Well, sometimes we go through life with our eyes open, misunderstanding all we see. In fact, most of us do that because we live from the outside, inside out, rather than living from within and deciding what we're going to see. We allow what we see to influence us. There's a popular singer right now, Kobe Calais, who has a song called Try. And what she does in this, in the video of the song, and how the song came about, her friend Babyface somebody, I think it's just Babyface, but anyway, she was complaining to him that being a woman in show business was a lot of hard work because she had to do the hair, the makeup, the eyes, the everything to get ready. And he said, "But you're beautiful just the way you are." And so in this video, she starts fully makeup, hair, extensions, absolutely the epitome of physical perfection. And then during the video, it all goes away. The makeup comes off, the hair comes off. And she is beautiful. And what she's encouraging people to do is what I'm encouraging all of us to do, with or without makeup, it doesn't matter. Are you being true to your own self? Are you letting that God self come forward? Your desires, your beliefs, the strength that you are. That's the whole idea of letting go of societal impressions, to say, just as you are right now, you're enough. More than enough. You're sacred. Just as you are right now, you are enough. Put your hand in your heart. And repeat after me. Just as I am right now, I am enough. Let's say it again. Just as I am right now, I am enough. I let my true light shine. Okay, so that's where we come from that place of so wonderful, so great. You know, if we all thought the same, acted the same, looked the same, dressed the same, it would be pretty boring, wouldn't it? Because there would be nothing to get to know. And yet, the one life that is divine, through its individualization, through our thoughts and beliefs, becomes so many things, so many different personalities, so many talents, a multitude of grace. And each one of us participates in it to the degree we're willing to be aware of it. Ernest Holmes, in the textbook, has only three times he mentions society, and I didn't choose that quote because I didn't think they were applicable to us this morning, but I did choose a quote that I want to share with you. And he says this, "Therefore, it makes all the difference in the world what we are impressing upon the law as being true about ourselves. Therefore, it makes all the difference in the world what we are impressing upon the law as being true about ourselves. For if we think poverty and lack, we're certainly creating them and causing them to be projected into our own experience. If, on the other hand, we think abundance, then the law will as easily and willingly create abundance for us." So what's that all about? What that is about is that this one power that is unconditional love, operates through its own perfect law that says yes to whatever is impressed upon it. So whatever you believe about yourself, whatever you say about yourself, whatever you say or think about life and your friends, it's all going to be pictured exactly as you think about it being. That will it become. So what are you impressing into the law? Are you speaking words of beauty and grace and support? Or are you coming from a place of fear and scarcity, lack, not enough, insufficiency? It's truly, truly up to you. I know that when I moved here to the United States from Canada, some of you may catch a little bit of the sound, but I tried so hard to fit in. I wanted to belong. I wanted you all to like me. And so I gave up my Canadian. Every Canadian word I had, process, I changed to American. I wanted to sound like you. I wanted to fit in, be one of you so much. And I had no clue that part of that individualization of God, I was giving up. I was suppressing it. I was doing it for a great reason. I wanted to be embraced and to embrace my new family. And fitting in is not the way. The way to belong is to reveal the true self that you are. The true self that you are. So, and to let go of those societal impressions, whatever they may be, and say, just as I am enough. I've asked my teacher to say a few words to you. She led us so clearly as she did all of my first 3 years of classes. I studied with her, and she definitely has an impression upon me. You'll see from whatever she says, she comes from the absolute and only the absolute. There's nothing else but God here, God in expression, my teacher, my friend, my mentor, Reverend Dr. Sue Rubin. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So as we're talking about society, I was thinking to myself, good morning, first of all. You're here. I have to acknowledge that right here and right now. I was thinking, interesting. So what does society say to the student, quote unquote, who is standing up on this magnificent stage, and the teacher, quote unquote, is sitting right there? Is she nervous? Is there a bit of, am I saying it right? Am I doing it right? Does she like it? Is it showing all this that I have manifested as the consciousness of God as me? And let's turn that around. Society would say that the teacher sitting there goes, wow, I taught her everything I know, and everything she knows, I taught her. No. What I think is something that I shared yesterday at the board advance. We don't call it a retreat. We call it an advance. And I said, my teacher, Dr. Tom Johnson, anybody remember Dr. Tom from the West Valley Church of Religious Science? He used to say, the greatest testament to the idea that you have absorbed, embodied, and lived this principle, continue to live it, is when you see your student exceed where you have been and what you have done. And that's what I see in the ways of leadership. My mind flashed back, as did Dr. Heather's, as we were sharing yesterday, to a classroom in downtown Edmonton. The green kid, me from California, talk about wanting to be a Canadian. I could never get it. Eh? What's that about? Kickety-boo or dickety-poo or whatever that thing was. And then they didn't wear hats, they wore toques or something, toques. Never got it. It's like New York was not leaving me, and take it or leave it. That was it. But in that classroom, it was the second story, and there were no elevators, so we all trekked up, and we did classes, and I just flashed back. I told Dr. Heather I could see her sitting exactly where she sat, and me, this is my first ministry, I just wanted to stay 5 minutes ahead of everybody else. And she's pretty darn smart, do you know that? So I also want to know, do you know the magnificence of a consciousness? We speak so much about consciousness, which I would just describe as the awareness of truth, the awareness that everything that Dr. Heather said, God is, I am, that besides, aside from, underneath, through, above and beyond what you are experiencing right now, and let's face it, we're living in a physical world that is pretty compelling in its stimulation of fear and violence and anger and destruction and devastation and poverty and lack and limitation, and the list goes on and on. And yet, just what Reverend Judy said, I've never heard it put that way before. We go within so that we're never without, so that whatever is happening in the physical world, I'm not denying it. I'm not trivializing it. But I'm standing firm that in the midst of all this fluctuation and movement and constant ongoing change, there is a solid, changeless, unmovable, unchangeable permanence. That is the spiritual nature of who you are, who you've always been, who you will forever be, whether you know it or not. It's there. So all we're ever doing is becoming consciously aware of our oneness with God. Dr. Heather was a person who personified the absolute determination to begin with the end in mind. She knew what she wanted, and she wanted to become a minister and live in the States, particularly California. And I need to refresh my own memory and yours as to what that took. So I started teaching Science of Mind classes. Now, we're talking about 1985, so turn the clock back. And certainly Science of Mind was new to Edmonton in that time and that place. And so Heather continued. She was a teacher herself at that time. In fact, our very first Science of Mind classes were held at the high school where she taught, and we didn't have to pay a cent. So, first year, great. Again, staying 5 minutes ahead of everybody. Second year, great. Continued the journey. Third year, great. Heather became a practitioner. Well, from third year at that time, you, just as now, would go into what we call the fourth year, which was the ministerial training. I didn't have enough people to do that. And so Heather waited her time out, continued her studies, taking classes over again, and patiently waiting year two. Sorry, still don't have enough people. My consciousness wasn't there. Hers was, for where she was going. Where I was going was going to take a little bit longer. And so the way the universe does everything, it moves mountains, it does whatever is necessary to draw together everything from an original creative idea that brings that idea into its implementation and manifestation. This building is proof of that. And what happened for Heather was, my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Arlene Bump at the time, let's all say that together, Bump. She was teaching. She was the minister down in Calgary. Heather made a clear, decisive, purposeful choice to leave Edmonton, leave her job, and go down to Calgary to continue her studies because Dr. Arlene was teaching the ministerial class. And from there, the rest is history. Every step led the way to the perfect conclusion of a perfectly inspired divine idea. This sanctuary that you're occupying right now is the conclusion of a perfectly designed idea in the mind of God that, let's face it, those of you who have been here a long time, you know the cycle of the unfolding process it took for years and years. And so to see this is a demonstration of the consciousness of your leader, your board, your practitioners, the practitioners who keep that high watch, the minister who is always first and foremost a practitioner, is one piece of the puzzle. That manifestation has already taken place. Now I challenge each and every one of you to be the spokesperson, the messenger of the light, which goes everywhere, into markets, into banks, into friendly connections and events and social things that you're doing. And your challenge is within every group you inhabit to say, have you heard? And of course, immediately you get people's attention. Have you heard what? Have you heard about the Center for Spiritual Living in San Clemente? Beautiful, lush, lovely San Clemente. Well, no. What are you doing next Sunday morning? 10 o'clock, there's a meditation. 10:30, the message begins. Have you ever heard of Dr. Heather Dawn Clark? Well, no. Well, for God's sakes, I'm picking you up. We're going. And this sanctuary, which is lush and lovely, the music, Rick and Karen, the musicians, everything about it is designed with you in mind. You have to, however, do your part, which is to live up to that divine expectation of being who you are in mind, not in what may temporarily be happening in your body and in your money matters and in the world at large. None of that is to be denied or ignored, but it is to be set aside in exchange for a more important idea. God is I am. Will you say that with me? God is I am. You have just declared without equivocation, doubt, or argument that you are an individualized expression of God. So my challenge to you is now go out and prove it. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to say a couple of things. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, and that was quoted in our journal for today, for the lesson that is with this topic, imitation is suicide. Copying someone else is suicide. You must be true to the self. And then I wanted to close by reading to you a David White poem called Opening the Eyes, Opening of Eyes. He says, "That day I saw beneath dark clouds the passing light over the water, and I heard the voice of the world speak out. I knew then, as I had before, life is no passing memory of what has been, nor the remaining pages in a great book waiting to be read. It is the opening of eyes long closed. It is the vision of far-off things seen for the silence they hold. It is the heart, after years of secret conversing, speaking out loud in the clear air. It is Moses in the desert, fallen to his knees before the lit bush. It is the man throwing away his shoes as if to enter heaven and finding himself astonished, opened at last, fallen in love with solid ground. This is who you are. Leave those societal impressions. They never were you, and so it is." Thank you, thank you, thank you. And